lost person does. The saved person, when something happens to them, it comes in and they maybe feel a certain way, they maybe think about it, but the first thing that they do is they take it captive. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. That means that you take this thought, for instance, I have an enemy. My enemy makes me feel a certain way, so I hate him. And the more I think about it, the more I feel that way, and I hate him more. And this wheel just goes, woo, woo, woo. But the Christian says, I have an enemy. I take that thought captive. That enemy makes me feel a certain way, but I take the thought captive. I bring it to Jesus, and I say, Jesus, what do I do with this enemy? And I go to his word, and he says, love him. And I say, how am I supposed to do that? He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so I turn the wheel the other way, and I think about his word, and I pray about it. That takes me over here. I read my Bible. I pray. I get counsel. And I do what Jesus says to do, rather than what I feel like doing. And the wheel turns this way, and then the caboose of the train is how I feel instead of the engine of the train. If the engine of the train is my feelings, I'm operating solely out of my soul, and that's going to really cause me a lot of problems, okay? But we're going to talk about how Job feels tonight, and we're going to see how Job stops the wheel from going this way, turns it around and makes it go that way. He's going to do it exactly the same way that you and I should do it. So number one, Job's feelings in verses 8 and 9. Behold, I go forward, he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive it. These are his emotions that he's talking about. He says, I feel like I can't find God. Now, question, is that true? Is God gone? Has God moved? Well, no, God is still very much present. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still God. And by the way, he also hasn't what? Hebrews 13, verse 8. He has not changed. Okay? You may have changed. Your circumstances may have changed, but God has not changed. And then he goes on in verse 9. He says, on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. So he felt that God had hidden himself from him. Okay? And so here he is. He's in the realm of his emotions. This is how he feels. He's got all kinds of questions. His physical body is hurt. He's lost his children. His wife is basically giving him counsel to curse God and die. His buddies are telling him, this is all your fault. If you just come clean, God would forgive you, and this could all end. And Job maintains his integrity. He's saying, look, I am not a perfect man, but I didn't do anything to bring this on. I don't have any hidden thing that I'm hiding out like you guys are basically saying that this should be. Verse 10, look what Job does next. How do you keep from the emotions? Because his wife, she acts out of emotion. This hurts, curse God and die. Right? Does Job go that way? No. Job stops the wheel from rolling the wrong way. How does he do it? Well, verse 10, we see Job's faith. So first, Job's feelings. And he's honest about his feelings. And there's nothing wrong with that. Tell God the way you feel. You can yell and scream and holler, you know. You can do it in the house, or you can do it outside, or you can do it in front of people. You can go get all by yourself. You're not going to surprise God. He already knows what's going on in your heart. So tell him how you feel. But secondly, we see Job's faith. So watch this. Look at verse 10. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job stops, and instead of allowing his emotions to lead him into his will, he goes the other way into his mind, and he begins to talk about some things that he knows to be true of God and what he believes. So, number one, Job knew that God was watching. Now, he can't perceive this, and that's what's so important. He doesn't feel like God is watching him. He just said so. He said, I feel like God is hidden. But he knows it to be true, right? He knows it to be true, and he believes it by faith. On Sunday, we talked about the difference between, I'm having a senior moment here. Positional truth versus conditional truth. Y'all can help me out when I get I show my age here. What we're going to talk about now is positional truth. Job does not, he's not living in the condition of, I feel like God is watching me. Remember Eric Little? He said, when I run, I feel like God is smiling upon me. You ever seen Chariots of Fire? He felt that. He felt like he could experience that. Well, Job is in a place going, I'm living my life and I can't feel anything from God. But I know in my mind, and I believe in my heart, that God is watching me. He says it right there. He knoweth the way that I take. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 139. All throughout the scripture, we are reminded of this, but this one is one of my favorites. David's going to write this psalm. Psalm 139. What do you do when life is crushing you and you feel like God is hidden himself and he's not talking to you? Well, you go to, you act in faith. Number one, God is watching me. God knows what's going on. Okay, he knows my way. Psalm 139, chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Isn't that amazing? So Job, the first thing that he does is he says, I know that God is watching me. I know that he sees what's going on, okay? Number two. Oh, by the way, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4, he's talking about doing acts of righteousness, giving alms, praying, and fasting. And he says this there. He says, your alms, they may be done in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. One of the aspects of Christian faith is to know that God knows my thoughts, he knows my heart, he sees me, he knows everything that's going on. God is not surprised. There's never been a moment in heaven by people who have been able to go there and see what's going on, like John, Paul, and others. But not God. He knows everything. Number two, Job knew that God was testing him. Now, this is the one that Christians don't like. But he says there, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. Let's go to the New Testament. Does the New Testament teach that Christians will be tested, that their faith will be tested? Yes. Does that sound like fun? Well, Kyra's getting ready to go back for her second semester of fun and games at the old college. And it doesn't start Monday? Class start Monday? This morning, see, I lived in a better day than today. Amen. My college professors did not have email. They did not have message boards. How many did he post today?
I got 94
notifications. 94 notifications. School hasn't even started yet. That is, I told her, I said, you tell him, my daddy said that you're a communist if you assign work before school starts. I'm sorry, but that's what I believe. Anyway. Thank God I didn't have anything like that going on. I wouldn't have done it anyway, but you do it, though, Kyra, whatever they say you do. It's a lot of money invested.
I mean, that's like more than one posting for each day that you're going to be in class for the semester.
Yeah, it's just moronic is what it is. But that's college. Anyway, so he knew. I know where I was going with this. I'm like, hey, guess what? You know, she's whining about it this morning, and I'm telling them that they're a bunch of communists. But guess what? You know what's coming? Test. You're going to go. You're going to take the class. They're going to test you. That's what it's all about. There's no way out of it. It's going to happen. And guess what? As a Christian, you're going to go. You're going to live the life. You're going to take the test. There's no way out of it. James chapter 1. Look what he says here. Verses 2 through 5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Please note that the prayer for wisdom is in the context of testing, which means that when you are tested, one of the things that you should do is pray for wisdom as to how to handle this test, to how to handle this temptation that you are in the midst of. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Just turn over to the next book. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Job knew that God was testing him. Please notice that don't play games with this. Don't beat around the bush with this. Don't try to get into semantics with this. He says, he knoweth the way that I take when he, that's God, hath tried me. God is testing Job. Is there any question about that? No, Job has no question about that. He knows it to be true, and he believes it. So here's how Job feels. Man, he feels terrible. He feels like he can't find God. He feels like, I mean, the whole world is crumbling around him. Nothing is working the way that he should. He's confused and upset. But he goes to the area of his mind, and he sits down in his faith, and he says, number one, God sees me. God is watching me. God knows everything that's going on in my life. Number two, God is trying me. Number three, here's the third thing that he knew. He knew the testing would come to an end. He knew that it would only last for a period of time. Back to 1 Peter, if you will, real quick. Oh, there in Job, he says, when he hath, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When this test happens and it comes to its end, he knew that that time would come to an end. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Look what Peter says about this time of testing that the people of his day were encountering. 1 Peter 1, 6. Wherein he greatly rejoiced, though now for a season. You should underline that in your Bible. If need be, your heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, sometimes the Bible uses the word tempt. Sometimes the Bible uses the word test or try. And there's this huge, you know, God. If you continue to read in James, it says that God doesn't tempt anyone. But he's talking about testing and temptation. So how does that work? Well, it's really simple if you think about it. Anytime there is a point in which you are tested, God is giving you a test. By the way, God is a really good teacher. He's a really astute. He's also very much a lover of your soul. Therefore, he gives you tests because you need to know the information. I love it in the Gospels as you read about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus takes the loaves and the fishes and he feeds the 5,000. And if you continue to read a chapter or two, he does it again. and he comes to the disciples and he says, how are we going to feed all these people? And they do the same thing they did the first time. We're like, we can't feed all these people. How can you feed all these people? And you want to just, you know, that's one of those, I want to step into time and just shake them, you know. You just saw him do it. You just saw him do it. So not only does God test our faith, but if we don't get it right, he's going to give us a test again. He's going to keep teaching us. That's one of the things that our homeschool does. We teach for mastery. Sometimes we repeat subjects. Sometimes we go back and repeat worksheets. And sometimes we go back and rewind for, you know, whole semesters. Because if you don't get it, What good's it going to do to send you on down the road, especially math, right? Because it builds upon each other. If you don't get English, well, welcome to America. But in math, I mean, that could actually affect something someday. You need to know how to add, subtract. At the very moment that you're given a test, Satan is going to tempt you. And we see this as we read the book of Job. It plays out for us. We see it happen. God gives the go-ahead. You can hurt him. You can only hurt him to this point. But you can do it. Now, Satan is setting Job up to fail. He wants to prove that the only reason Job loves God is because God blesses Job. Job says, or God says to Satan, okay, get after it. Now listen to me. This is very important. There's no way that God would have permitted that had he thought Job would not have come forth as gold. Now you need to understand that whenever something happens in your life. When God allows these things to come into your life, he knows that you can pass the test. Or he wouldn't give it to you. If you're his, you're his child, and just as much as Job is. Now, you read this and you see what happens, you go, how can a loving God allow that to happen? Because this loving God is doing something much bigger than just Job. He's doing something huge, and he's taking Job and he's maturing Job, and he's growing Job, and us too. So at the moment of a test from God, you're going to experience a temptation from Satan at the very moment that that happens. But Job knows that it's only going to last for a period of time. It's not going to last forever. Number four, there's one more thing. He says there in verse 10. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knew that good would come from the test. I think there are lots and lots of Christians who have been tested, who do not believe that good will come from that test. And because of that, they grow angry, they grow bitter, they blame God, they get upset with God, they get upset with the church. This didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to, so I'm done. They turn around and they walk away. Sometimes they walk away for a long time, sometimes for a short time, sometimes it takes years for this to come about. I can tell you a story of a man I know, he's passed on now, one of the most bitter men I've ever met in my life. He's a real estate agent, and he had a big ranch deal. He was getting close to retirement age. He was in his early 60s, and he has this big ranch deal, and this is the deal that he retires on. He can sell these. It wasn't just one, it was multiple ranches. He can sell these ranches and get the commission off these ranches. That will basically be his nest egg and his retirement. And he does the work and he gets everything right there. And right at the last minute, somebody runs in underneath him. They make a ranch trade and he is cut out of the deal. And he sued and he fought and he tried everything he could. And when I met him, this had already happened. And he got less than zero out of that deal because he went lawyered up and tried to get the money anyway. And it didn't work. It backfired on him and it wound up costing him money. And he died a bitter, bitter, grouchy old guy. And I guarantee you, you'd sit and talk to him, I mean, he just almost spit. And it had happened, I mean, he was 70-something when I knew him. It had happened 10, 12 years ago. And he'd be so mad, he'd grit his teeth as he talked about the deal. And I always felt so sorry for that guy because, not because the deal fell. Because of what it did to him and what he allowed it to do to him. See, Job knows that good is going to come out of this. He says, when I come out of this deal, he said, I shall come forth as gold. Now, if you know anything about the assaying of precious metals, they are put into a fire in order to purify them. That's what the ancient goldsmiths did, silversmiths, even to this day. They take it and they refine it and they burn off the impurities. They melt it down and scrape off the dross, the things that don't melt, and that's how it comes out. So the only way that you can get that gold pure is to put it through the fire. And that's the kind of metaphor that Job is using here. And so he knows that good is going to come. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. it hurts. Believe me, I know, because I've had somebody quote this verse to me when I was in the middle of a really difficult time. But as Christians, we must know these things. We must. I was talking to my dad just today. We were talking about the fact that in America, at some point, it became a bad thing for old people to die. And I don't understand that. I don't get that. Listen, you're going to die. It's going to happen. We fight it. We fight it. I said, watch my granddad fight it for about 3 years. Terry, I honestly think that he did not think he was going to die. He was in his 80s. He took kidney dialysis that almost killed him every time he did it for 3 years. And I just, I mean, hey, an 80-something-year-old man on kidney dialysis can't get no better. He ain't getting no better. There's not going to come the day that he gets up, walks away from that, goes back to work. It's not going to happen. My dad was telling the story of his dad, and then he came to a place where he realized that he had an inoperable cancer, and he was sick, and he had this terrible, just really bad stuff, a bunch of big operations. It was just, and he called dad, and he said, I need you to come see me, and he was in the hospital, and dad came and saw him, and he says, I'm done. He said, I ain't long for this world. He said, so I need you to take care of this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Dad said, okay. He said, Dad, he said, are you ready? He said, I've made peace with God. He said, I'm ready. And my dad said, you know, my whole life I have respected that so much more than this. This is the other granddad. He said, as I see these people that just cling to, you know, just hold on for everything. You know, Paul says it's better to die, right? For me to live as Christ and die as what? His gain. And it is better. That to depart and be with Christ is far better, Philippians says, right? And so it's this understanding that no matter what happens, as a Christian, that God can bring good out of it. I might not even see it in my life, but for the greater situation, maybe there's a family member, maybe the way that I handle a really hard situation, and I handle it in faith, the way that Job is handling this in faith, maybe God is using that to teach one of my children or my grandchildren. Or maybe to teach somebody else to show them, hey, this is the way a man of God handles a rough situation. They fall on their face. They're honest with God about their feelings. But then they go to remunerating what they know to be true about God. Number one, God is watching me. Number two, God is testing me. It's going to happen. Number three, this testing is only for a season. This is only a season. This is going to start and it's going to end at some point. And number four, when this is over, I will come out as gold. I will come out of this situation better than I went into it. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That verse is very specific. It doesn't apply to all mankind. It doesn't apply to lost people. It only applies to Christians. And basically, that is exactly what Job is saying. He's saying, hey, this testing, I will come out as gold. So he knows these things to be true. And that is what faith is. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. So it's almost as he says this, he's teaching Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar and Elihu. He's teaching them as he does, as he says this, but he's also reminding himself. And I think that's so important for us. When you get in the midst of a really difficult time, you really have got to dig into the Word of God, and you've got to remind yourself. You know, one of the old Puritan preachers said one time, he said, I preach the gospel over and over again to myself, lest I forget. You know, it's almost as if I have to remind myself of the truth, because I'm so prone to wander and so prone to get caught up in my flesh. Number three, let's talk about Job's foot and his food. Look what he says. All throughout the Bible, God uses the foot or the walk or the feet to describe where you're going. So now we're talking about the will. We're talking about the will. So he says there in verse 11, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Job says, no matter what's happening, I am going to stay on the way that God has laid out for me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's very important. You know, lots of people say, you know, it's easy to follow Jesus until, you know, if it weren't for other people, I could follow Jesus easily. If it weren't for these circumstances, those kinds of things. Well, guess what? Those are the reasons that we need to follow Jesus, is because of circumstances. So if you're alive in the Spirit, you need to walk in the Spirit. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you probably know this one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that's what Job is saying. He's saying, okay, here's how I feel, but how I feel is a really bad way to make decisions. So here's what I know and believe. God's watching me. He's testing me. The test is going to come to an end, and it's going to produce something good in me. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to stay on the path. What do you really need to read your Bible? You really need to read your Bible right in the middle of the most difficult time of your life. That's when you really need to read your Bible. When do you need the church? Right in the middle of the most difficult time of your life. That's when you really need the church. When do you need to be on your knees in prayer? Right in the middle of the most difficult time that you're experiencing in your entire life. That's when you need to bear down in prayer. And that's what Job's saying. What am I going to do? I know how I feel. But you know what? Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. I base my faith in the Word of God. Not else is worth believing. That's what Martin, not Lloyd-Jones. Who's that other guy? Martin Luther. Not King. The real Martin Luther. He said that, and that is so true. Feelings are deceiving. You have had this happen to you. If you hear a lie, you feel a certain way, and then you find out the truth, and you're like, wow, there was no reason for me to be scared or afraid. Feelings don't know the difference between truth and lies. What you need is you need to get to the truth. And the way you get to the truth is through the Word of God. So Job says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to direct my foot. I'm going to keep my foot in his way. And then Job says, I'm going to eat some food. He says, I'm going to eat some food. This is the most exciting part of the whole deal right here. Verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I love this verse. I mean, it's wonderful. He kept his feet in step with God. And number two, he valued the words of God more than his necessary food. To esteem something means to place value on it. Job felt that God had hidden himself. But Job had hidden the word of God. That's what Psalm 119 says, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, the Hebrew word esteemed here, he says in verse 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If you will look in your margin, or my Bible does anyway, but if you'll look up the word, the Hebrew word is safan. It means to hoard or to reserve, to protect or to lay up in a secret place. In the day that Job lived, there were raiding bands of Arabs and raiders that would come, and people would harvest their grain and they would put it in barns, and people would come and they would steal it. And so sometimes they had to hide food. Well, that's what Job is saying. He says, I have esteemed your word more than my necessary food. In other words, not only have I valued it, but I valued it to the point that if somebody comes and steals my food, my family's going to die this winter. So I have to take care of it. I have to value it. I have to hide it. I got to put it somewhere where it's safe. Well, that's what I've done with the Word of God. I have hidden it in my heart. And so it is exactly the same Hebrew word as we find in Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid. The word hid in Psalm 119, verse 11 is exactly the same Hebrew word as esteemed in Job 23:12. So it's just like Job saying, I have hidden thy word away more than I would hide the grain that I use to feed my family for the winter. It is protected. And just think about food. You know, people who live in the Arctic, they have to build lodges because bears will come. And so they build these lodges up high off the ground, or they have to lock them up. We were watching this show in the Yukon just the other day, and they had this little cabin, and it had one window and it had a door. And the guy brings the hunter in, and he says, you're going to sleep in here. He says, if a bear comes through the door, you push your way out the window. And the guy's like, wait a minute, bear, come in the door. He said, yeah, it can happen. Don't have any food in here. There's stuff that comes to steal that food away. That's exactly what the Bible says Satan does. The birds of the air come, and that when that grain is sown, they come and they steal that seed away. And most of the time, and listen, something happens every Sunday. It happens every time a church meets. The Word of God gets scattered, and Satan just comes and steals it away. I forget it. I don't pay attention to it. I'm not listening in the first place. Whatever. These things happen in our lives. Job says, I value it. I esteem the Word of God. And I have hidden it away. I have treasured it more than my necessary food. To set a value on something, or to prize something, or to treasure something. So, I was reading this yesterday morning in my quiet time. I read chapter 23. And I'm just reading down through here, and it's just like God dropped a sack of sand on my head and just floored me as I sit there and said, you know, I've drawn this diagram before, and I think this is so true. Lost people, they feel certain ways, so they do it. You know, I feel hungry, so I eat. I feel aroused, so I breed like some kind of an animal. And then I think about it later, and when I think about it, I feel bad or I feel good or based on what I did. But the Word of God says that when a thought comes into us, that we need to take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. So what Job could have done is he could have had that thought come in. It could have made him feel bad about God. Why is God allowing this to happen? You know what would have been even worse? Is if God had actually let Job in on what was happening. Do you know that Job never finds out about the conversation? Can you imagine how upset Job would have been if he had said, hey, Satan didn't come and ask God if he could tempt you. God brought your name up, buddy. Can you imagine? Like, wow. Thanks a lot, God. That might have even made it more difficult for him to make this kind of a choice in life. But he takes the thought captive and he says, what do I know to be true about God? You know what this is called? This is called coping in life. It's called coping. How do I cope with life on a day-to-day basis? This is how, right here. And Job intentionally goes through these things. Know that God is watching me. I know that he has this plan, and I know that I'm in this plan. I know that I'm being tested. I know that this testing is getting in. I can know that it has a start and it has an end. And when I come to that end, it's going to be for my good. So what am I going to do as a result of that? An act of my will, my choice. I'm going to stay in the path that God has for me, and I'm going to treasure, I'm going to hide his word, because this is how I know. Listen, you can't trust what you feel. You cannot trust what you feel. Your feelings will deceive you every single time. You have to trust the truth. Jesus told those Jews who believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is the path to freedom as a Christian, right here. I can make you several promises tonight. One, I promise you, you're going to die unless Jesus comes back and raptures you away. Number two, I can promise you as a Christian, you're going to suffer. You're going to face hardship and difficulty and testing and trial and temptation. I guarantee you, you will. And it may come from somewhere that you think you've already gotten past. You may think, man, I faced that as a younger Christian. I conquered that. I won't ever have to mess with that again. Well, think again. No temptation. The Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Man, be careful. Be careful if you think you can't be tempted, because you can. But when these things come, I guarantee you that if you will do what Job does right here, it may not make it any easier. It may not make it any more tolerable, the test. But what it will do is it will keep you trusting in God and on the right path. And it will keep you from making emotional decisions that are not the best way for you to go. It will help you to focus on what God has for you and to go in the way that God wants you to go, no matter what is going on around you. Christians are to have joy, no matter the circumstances. Christians are to obey God, no matter the circumstances. You can't come to God with excuses. Well, I would have obeyed you, but my situation was different. No, you can't. God's not going to, he's not going to take those kind of excuses. I got really passionate about that yesterday morning. I was reading this. I'm like, man, this is what God wants for us. Now, I don't know. Maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you know somebody who's going through a trial, and you need to pray for them. You need to share this with somebody. Maybe you need to use this to help your children to deal with something, or your parents to deal with something. I don't know. I don't know exactly how God wants to use this in your life, but I know this. Here's what's so wonderful. This is prior to Moses. This is older than Moses, older than Elijah, older than the disciples. This is a guy who has a relationship with God. And these things, every single one of them, I hope that I showed you that. Every single one of these things I can find in the New Testament. Every single one of them. Right down the list. This is how a believer deals with a really difficult situation. Especially when you can't even find God in the middle of it. You go back to what you know. They tell me, a coach, Lombardi or Bryant, I can't remember which one it was. I think they played football. Had a team that was really struggling, having all kinds of problems. Walked into the locker room, first day of practice, held it up, and he said, what did he say? He said, this is a football. And they went all the way back to square one, and they started, and they rebuilt the entire thing. And that's what Job is doing. I go back to what I know to be true about God, and I get ready for what he's got for me, and I keep myself where I need to be with him. I can't change anybody else. I can't change the circumstances, and I don't even know why this is happening. But I know God, and I know he's good. And I know he has a plan, and I know he sees me, and I know he's going to take me through this thing. And that's how you do it. That's how you get there. And it worked thousands of years ago for Job, and it'll work right now for you and me. So, now I'm tired. Let's pray again.